You're listening to China Africa Talk.
Jambo, ni Bridget akikuletea kipindi kinachohusiana na China na Afrika.
Vous écoutez le dialogue sino-africain avec Bridget.
Everything China, everything Africa.
Olá, você está ouvindo China Africa Talk com Bridget.
سيدتي وسادتي مرحبا بكم في الحوار الصيني العربي مع بريدجيت.
Great to have you back on the program. You're listening to China Africa Talk. I'm your host, Bridget Mutambirwa, coming to you from the Chinese capital in Beijing with more discussions on what's happening with China and Africa from a Chinese and African perspective. Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi is on a four-nation trip in Africa, continuing a 35-year tradition that the Chinese Foreign Minister visits Africa on the first overseas trip of the year. From January 5 to 11, Wang Yi is visiting Namibia, the Republic of the Congo, Chad, and Nigeria. His visit comes at a time when China's relations with all African countries having diplomatic ties with Beijing has been elevated to the level of strategic relations, and the overall characterization of China-Africa relations was elevated to an all-weather China-Africa community with a shared future for the new era, as announced at the 2024 summit of the Forum on China-Africa Cooperation. The visit also sees the beginning of the implementation of the FOCAC Beijing Action Plan 2025 to 2027, which sets the roadmap for deepened collaboration in key areas such as infrastructure, trade, and security. To discuss more on the significance of Foreign Minister Wang Yi's visit to Africa, I'm now joined by Victor Gao, Chair Professor with Suzhou University, Charles Onanaiju, Director of the Center for China Studies in Nigeria, and Bahia Seririka, an international relations correspondent at New Era in Namibia. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you very much, Bridget, for the invite.
I'll start with you, Professor Gao. This year marks the 35th consecutive year when a Chinese foreign minister has made Africa their first overseas destination at the start of the year. What significance do you see in this tradition, and what are key focuses of Foreign Minister Wang Yi's visit this year?
Thank you very much for having me. As we speak, China's Foreign Minister, Mr. Wang Yi, is in Africa right now for an important visit to several countries. This is the continuation of the tradition for the Chinese Foreign Minister to make his first overseas visit every year to Africa. Now, this tradition is important for China and Africa because it demonstrates how importantly China looks at Africa and how China wants to put both the substance as well as the symbolism to China-African relations. China has already diplomatic relations with 53 out of 54 countries in Africa, and China's engagement with different countries and with Africa as a whole has been substantive, very deeply rooted, and for mutual benefit of both the Chinese people and people in Africa. And it covers all aspects that you can think of: economic, trade, people-to-people, science, technology, training of all kinds, etc. And China has become a very strong voice advocating for a legitimate interests protection of the African people.
Over to you, Mr. Nanaiju. Follow up on the 10 partnership action plans unveiled during the 2024 summits of the Forum on China-Africa Cooperation. What could be high on the agenda during Wang Yi's visit to Africa, particularly in Nigeria?
First, I like to stress, like Professor Gao said, this is a long-standing tradition. For me, it is beyond mere symbols. It has deep substance in the sense that each time this visit is met and talks are held, serious outcomes are witnessed. And on this particular visit, first year since the summit in Beijing, and then 10 action partnership plans were drawn up. Foreign Minister Wang Yi visit will hinge essentially on the roadmap, the implementation of these action plans. Mm. And like you know, these action plans have a duration of 3 years, ending in 2027, when the 10th ministerial conference will be held, perhaps somewhere in Africa. And this visit will be the opening chapter in addressing the implementation roadmap of this action plan. Nigeria is taking it very serious. Nigeria already, soon after President Tinubu's visit in September, he already set out the framework and machinery for implementation by inaugurating a special directorate reporting directly to the presidency on the implementation of the outcome of the Beijing summit and the Nigerian-China strategic partnership. So I think the framework and the roadmap for implementation has already been set in Nigeria. I think Foreign Minister Wang Yi's visit will provide more clarification, insight on the practical issues relating to this outcome, which has to be implemented right away. Traditionally, the FOCAC implementation is hinged on the Ministry of Budget and National Planning in Nigeria. This time around, the presidency has added an important framework to advance the implementation. So in overall, the visit is very important for the Nigerian side. I think a lot of preparation has gone into the meeting of Foreign Minister Wang Yi, and it is expected that it will provide greater clarification, greater focus, and implementation will be right on the way following the visit and following the action plans as announced in Beijing. So this is very significant for Nigeria coming up. And historically, each time the foreign minister comes, quite an important decision regarding to bilateral cooperation between the two sides has been taken. Okay. And this time, it appears, will not be an exception.
Mr. Sirireka, you are in Namibia, and Foreign Minister Wang Yi's first stop was Namibia. What are the key outcomes of Wang Yi's visit to Namibia? And as a reporter, what has captured you the most?
You know, I think as far as China-Namibia relations are concerned, it should be noted that all the dignitaries that have been coming to Namibia have always been consistent in their message as far as diplomatic relations and cooperation is concerned, and that is to strengthen the already existing bilateral relations and to come up with new ways on how to continue this partnership. And this is a partnership that is coined or termed and from a win-win perspective where trust is developed and all of those. So that was the first message that Minister Wang said. He really respects and cherishes African nations. That's why he decided to have this first visit to Africa. Namibia turns 35 years this year on the 21st of March. We are going to be inaugurating our first female president, and that is the first individual that Minister Wang had to visit. That was the current vice president, Honorable Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah. So he engaged her on a lot of issues. Now, what puts the cherry on the cake regarding this engagement is that our current vice president was a former international relations and cooperation minister. So in terms of international talks and all of this agreement that happens between states, between China and Africa and Namibia to be specific, is things that she is very much familiar with. So Minister Wang just wanted to do a familiarization visit to acquaint himself with the leadership that is bound to or that is about to take over the leadership of the country. And when it comes to the political landscape of Namibia also, these are very important attributes that not only China but other countries would want to have a partnership. In a politically stable environment, it always attracts investors. And I think in Africa, that's what we need. So a very important topic that was discussed was potential investments. But what stands out for me is the fortification of FOCAC agreements. I mean, Namibia wholeheartedly supports the adopting of the FOCAC cooperation, and we just reiterated that. And when it comes to the Vice President, Nandi-Ndaitwah, he was also happy, ecstatic that Minister Wang decided to have Namibia as a first stop regarding this international trip of his. And Wang said, China will forever continue to support Namibia in pursuing development and the realization path towards its national conditions, especially when it comes to modernization. We know very well that China breathes, eats, and sleeps modernization in all forms. So increasing capacity building, ensuring that nations do get exposed to a lot of industrialization, offering the much needed support for Namibia's economic development or Namibia's transformation when it comes to resources so that they can benefit the people. These are just some of the discussions that happened between him and the vice president before he went to visit the president at the coastal town of Swakopmund, which I will be, you know, sharing a little bit with you the gist of the conversations that happened that said.
Mr. Gao, Foreign Minister Wang Yi's visit to Africa, we know that it aims at promoting the implementation of the 2024 FOCAC summit outcomes and deepening China-Africa relations. What message is China sending through this visit?
I think Foreign Minister Wang Yi will definitely talk with his counterparts in these four very important African countries about peace and stability. Okay. Because the world right now is at a very dangerous crossroad, and China and the African countries really need to put a premium on preserving peace and protecting domestic stability. Because without these preconditions, economic development probably will be empty talk. Secondly, I think China and African countries need to talk about a whole range of things, because we are now faced with this AI revolution, mm-hmm. and Africa should not be left behind in this earth reshaping revolution. Many technological revolutions are happening. China's leading the way in electric car, EV car revolution, mm-hmm. and African countries definitely need to catch up on that. And China will be very happy to talk with these African countries and Africa as a whole about technological transfer, building up capacities together, and better utilizing mineral resources for mutual benefit. Further, I think the key to economic transformation will always be education and training of the talents. And if you look at the FOFAC declaration, there are clauses about how China and African countries need to re-engage with each other for this purpose. And I think with these four countries, definitely this will again be a focus. Further, you talked about Namibia. I think Namibia will be very important as far as China-African cooperation is concerned, not only for the traditional way of economic development, but also for space exploration and maritime exploration, because how to make sure that this joint cooperation will be penetrating into the Atlantic Ocean, and also using the very unique advantage of Namibia in terms of space exploration, like satellite ground stations, for example, will definitely be very much on the agenda.
Mr. Nalaiju, let's look at the 10 partnership action plans. I'd like to know from you, what progress has Nigeria made in tapping into and taking advantage of these 10 partnership action plans?
The 10 partnership plans were quite broad and significant. And like you know, it evolved from previous traditions of practical outcome of the FOCAC process, because the very iconic Johannesburg FOCAC process outcome in 2015, which had infrastructure construction cooperation, industrialization, agricultural modernization. Nigeria seized those moments. Significantly, industrial park had been built, which housed a number of Chinese enterprises. Infrastructure construction, like the first deep sea port, has happened. And of course, connectivity within Nigeria, Lagos Blue Line, Red Line have all are up and coming. So much has been achieved in terms of practical outcome of FOCAC as far as Nigeria is concerned. And this time around, the 10 partnership plans also, they were a product of extensive consultation between the China side and the African side. So I think it is very obvious, trade and investment, like you know, Nigeria is very serious. In 2018, part of the FOCAC process also, the China-Africa Trade and Economic Zone was established in Hunan province in China. And Nigeria was among the first country to build a Nigerian trade house, which underscores commitment of the country to drive vigorous trade and investment with China. And these are all contained in the partnership plan. And like you know, Nigeria is also implementing very tough economic reforms, which means that all hands on deck and every engagement is brought into bear on the outcome of this reform process. And China is particularly viewed as a major factor in generating concrete outcome in Nigerian domestic economic process. And what it simply means is Nigeria is taking very seriously the outcome of the Beijing summit, the 10 partnership plans. And I believe that the visit of Minister Wang Yi will deepen this engagement and set out on the road towards implementation. Like I earlier suggested to you, Nigeria took the very important step of creating a special agency to facilitate implementation of the process.
Right.
And this is making a lot of impact. Just last December, China Trade Expo was held in Abuja, bringing China's top engineering companies participating in Africa and some from Hunan province. And there was a lot of excitement.
Mm.
You know, a whole lot of Nigerian stakeholders gathered in Abuja to participate. And the outcome was huge. So I think the first step in the implementation of the outcome had shown vigorous commitment by the Nigerian side, especially the organized private sector.
Over to you, Mr. Sididik, in Namibia. And I know you've also lived in China as well during the media exchange program. I'd like to know from your experience, from what you saw, and obviously on the ground there in Namibia, which areas of cooperation hold the most potential and where do you expect deepened cooperation?
I think most of the issues raised by my fellow panelists are not really different from the existing ideas and plans that China intends on having with countries like Namibia. We have, I think, quite good time to ensure that the realization of some of these very key important issues that highly depend on the country's economic status do come to fruition. So Namibia is one of those developing countries that heavily rely, that must rely on education and training. Capacity building is very important.
Okay.
And these are some of the key issues that President Nangolo Mbumba also had a discussion with Minister Wang. And apart from education and training, obviously, we have infrastructure development. China is assisting Namibia in constructing an airport road from the capital city to the airport, which is almost done right now. So I'm hoping that by the end of this year, when we are having this conversation, it should be done by then. China has invested and capacitated Namibian health professionals on many avenues. The introduction of medicine is very important when it comes to Namibia, whether it's Chinese medicine, acupuncture, all of this stuff. So these are things that the country would also be tapping into more.
Okay.
Digital economy is something that Namibians are very much receptive to at the moment because of, I believe, the lack of exposure, the lack of experience. But for us who have lived in China and who have traveled in China, we have understood and we have become accustomed to the easiness of a digital economy.
Mm.
Trade and investment is a very important aspect and an action plan for FOCAC declaration that Namibia is also trying very hard with the assistance of China to come to realization. We have been experiencing severe drought in Namibia for quite a while. We've been receiving amazing showers in the past 2 weeks. So agriculture, specifically smart agriculture, is something that we are also working hard towards with the relevant authorities, but capacity building is very important as well. The president highlighted women and youth cooperation on international affairs and many others. And with the assistance of China, these are just some of the very important aspects that we should be tapping into. I'd also like to bring to your attention the importance of tourism. And I think when it comes to tourism in China, it is a booming industry.
Yeah,
it is a booming, lucrative market. How are they doing it? So Namibia is definitely determined to tap into that Chinese tourism market as well. It's globally growing very fast. And one of the things that Namibia is also facing is the high youth unemployment rate. So we need to tap into sectors that would enable the creation of jobs. And with the assistance of China, we will be in the right way. Of course, it's a win-win. The exchange programs that I have written so much about, the businessmen who are traveling between the two countries to exchange knowledge, expertise, and services is something that both countries are looking hard at as well. The Belt and Road Initiative is also one of those major projects that have really enabled the beautiful cooperation between Asia, specifically China and Namibia and other countries as well. We need to again as a continent tap into this free movement of goods and people without any obstacles. If we want to develop the continent and we want to work with countries like China, we need to look at these things.
Very interesting insights there, Mr. Sirireka. Mr. Gao, the year 2025 is significant for the global south. We have South Africa hosting the G20 presidency, and we also have China hosting the Shanghai Cooperation Organization Summit. FOCAC marks its 25th anniversary in 2025 as well. How do you see China and Africa strengthening the voice of the global south?
Both China and Africa are important integral parts of the global south. China has declared on many occasions that China will remain, as always, a developing country, meaning a developing country is not only just an economic measurement, but also very much of a political symbolism. China wants to be always brothers and sisters with other global south countries, peoples, for example, especially with the African brothers and sisters. And we want to continue to grow with them, develop with them, but also to support each other in terms of achieving our respective joint political aspirations. In this regard, I think China definitely wants to play a more effective role because the size of the Chinese economy, the weight of China on the international scene are such that they can really be very much leveraged by the African countries to assert their legitimate aspirations so that they will not be a forgotten continent, as the Western countries used to say. And they will be equal partners on all the major issues facing mankind. And they will grow together with China and all the other countries, for example, rather than being sidelined whenever you have a major thing in the world.
Mr. Sirireka, back to you there. From an economic perspective, what are the new trends and opportunities in China-Africa economic and trade cooperation, and how might they drive growth for both sides? What's your take?
I think I would also take the words of the president that I totally agree with him when he said that Namibia is going to seek partnership in technology-based smart cities. I think we need to tap into that. 5G technology, for example, is also something that I strongly believe Namibia should be tapping into. For now, we really need to work together to ensure that we do come to the realization of this, you know, digitalization platforms for the future. I think that is very important so that we can curb things such as crime, traffic management, and all of this other stuff. A very important key industry, or should I say sector, that everyone is looking at Namibia right now is the green hydrogen, because Namibia is a highly competitive location for solar and wind energy. We have access to galore of sunlight, so it is very important for us
to have the desert there as well.
We have the Namib desert. We are very rich when it comes to natural resources in abundance, and I think the green hydrogen is a sector or an industry that we need to tap into. In terms of mutual win-win situations, I think the Chinese counterparts could also, with whoever is an expert in the green hydrogen, we can come together, sit on one table, learn as much as we can about the sector and ensure that both our people do benefit from the thriving of the industry. Other than that, smart agriculture is something that I mentioned earlier on. I think it is an amazing business opportunity, especially considering that Africa, we are not thriving when it comes to food security. We experience quite severe droughts or severe floods. The El Nino phenomena has affected all of us, even to a certain extent. China has also been impacted by floods and all of this. So there is a need for us to still have that mutual ground to sit and discuss on how we are going to manage all of this stuff. But above and beyond that, I think the already existing relations that are there, we need to work towards that. The education, infrastructure development, because these are very long-term projects. You can never finish or end when it comes to capacity building. I think a very important aspect that we have also noticed in China is water. We have a very big problem with the shortage of water. Even the city of Windhoek here, the capital city where we are based, there is always a cautionary measure put out there. Please do spend, water sparingly. Do not. Yeah. Mm. We need to tap into the Chinese market to see how they are doing it with such a large population, because now you would be hearing comments such as, oh, but Namibia is only 3 million people. How could you be messing up, or how could you not be thriving with such a number of people? So with the amazing partnerships of China and large populations such as Nigeria as well, I think we can really use our resources and our allies so that we can all develop and just thrive in this world of ours.
Mr. Nanaiju, just to wind off our discussion, I'd like to know from you on security. President Xi Jinping announced at the 2024 FARC-ACT summit that China will work together with Africa toward the partnership action for common security, build a partnership for implementing the GSI, and make it a fine example of GSI cooperation. What outcomes can we expect from Africa this year or in the near future?
One of the critical challenges in Africa is security, especially in the Sahel region, the West African region. Mm-hmm. You have the turbulence of terrorists and banditries.
Right.
These are all impacting on development agenda. China is a top player in the security sector in mm-hmm. Africa. You know, it has supported the AU Peace and Security Council in several ways to address some of the issues relating to security. But the GSI, Platform for Cooperation, in my view, would be an important game changer. And there is a case for Africa to seriously study this proposal, seriously engage it, and drive a policy instrument that utilizes the practical impact of the GSI to support its struggle against terrorism, its struggle against banditry. And in Nigeria is quite a big challenge. Most Nigerians woke up mm-hmm. to the bad news that Boko Haram terrorist group and its affiliate, the ISWAP, mm-hmm. Islamic State in West Africa, attacked a military base
mm-hmm.
in the northeastern region mm-hmm. of Borno State. And six soldiers were killed mm-hmm. with several military equipment destroyed. So this is a very important challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And in my view, the GSI offers a very significant platform to address this. One, it is designed to engage the root cause of security challenges. It is designed to support measures to address the root cause while also providing the hard issues relating to security, intelligence sharing, and others. So for me, the commitment of the China side to put the GSI on a platform of a China-African cooperation, as expressed by President Xi at the last meeting in Beijing, is very important.
Mm.
I think African countries, we need to seize the moment. It presents a unique opportunity,
mm.
not only to engage the security issues as it evolves, but to tackle the root cause of security. As you know, development is hard to come. Economic investment are hard to come
mm.
if there are evident security challenges. And that is why GSI is providing an important platform to jointly address the security challenges. So I expect, especially the Nigerian side, who have to battle in several fronts against the scourge of insecurity, from banditry, terrorism. The Northwest is being ravaged. There are also news of a bandit attack in villages, in shrinking the economic sector. Farmers could hardly go to their farms. Movements from one place to another becomes handicapped. So security is very, very important. If we have to see progress in other sectors of cooperation between the two sides.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time that we have for this edition of China-Africa Talk. Mr. Gao, Mr. Siririka, and Mr. Onanaiju, thank you, gentlemen, for sharing your perspectives on this topic. Listeners, to get the latest update and more discussions on China-Africa relations, you can subscribe to our online newsletter at CGTN or Substack www.cgtn.com/subscribe/newsletter.html or via Substack.com/@ChinaAfricaTalk. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post it on social media, or leave a rating and review. Thanks again. See you next time.